Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com. On tomorrow's show, I don't know. Here's hoping that, well, we know that Jason Leisure will be on the show, so he can help try and bring us some sort of clarity on what's going on with your Chicago Bears. But it does seem like I start too many transitions with this phrase, with this question. What the hell is going on with the Bears, Parkinson Spiegel?
What a funny, weird, dysfunctional day on Twitter. I thought that they kind of came across fine, all things considered.
Well, I thought Matt Nagy came across fine.
Tabor came across fine. I thought Allen Robinson handled it well.
Okay, like, they, but I thought you meant the organization as a whole.
Anyone who was put out there publicly today was dealt an impossible hand.
Yes, and so the organization looks stupid and silly for
that.
Yeah,
of course. Of course. We'll see what is or is not true in all of this, but like, we've been dealing with some weird things the last 24, like Jordan Schultz reporting on the Bears locker room.
And then A-Rob coming back at him hard today.
And then Mark Conkle reporting, you know, like at thepatch.com reporting on Matt Nagy.
I've spent way too much time debating the journalistic merit of Mark Conkle's history today. I've spent way too much time thinking about his journalism resume.
Can I get
today.
A Jay Glazer, Lawrence? Can I get some certainty here? Can I get
Schefter? That's where I was, like, after exhausting some people that I know, I'm like, I would feel a lot more comfortable talking about this as a certainty if there was even a smidge of confirmation coming from people who ordinarily would jump to confirm something like this.
It's why I don't think it's true.
Well,
I do not think it's true. I think that Matt Nagy will be fired at some point this year, but I do not think that the Lions game will be his last game because it makes no logical sense to tell someone that you are being fired and then let him coach the game. It doesn't make sense.
That part of the report could be wrong, though.
That's the report.
Well, I know, but the report that he has been told, like, you know, the source could have said it to Conkle in a way that, oh, yeah, this is going to be Nagy's last game, and he knows it or whatever. But, like, the idea that the Bears have decided to fire him after Thursday and just don't want to do it in a short week, that's still in
on
play.
On Monday.
Yeah.
It's very specific.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but that's still in play to me, Lawrence. Like, the possibility that he's going to get whacked Thursday night or Friday morning or something like that is absolutely still in play to me. And that Nagy was not told is the thing. And what's also in play is that the report is out there and they don't even choose to talk to him in the 2.5 hours in between to say, hey, Matt, this isn't accurate, by the way, or this isn't true. He said they haven't. He hasn't even talked to them. And that's like, wouldn't you talk to him either way? Wouldn't you try to clear it up either way if you're Ryan Pace and or Ted Phillips and or the McCaskies? If you were good at running a business.
I think all of our inclination would lean to say yes, but like I saw the Bears getting criticized for Chris Tabor speaking first, right? And he's put in a tough spot, but he was scheduled to speak first. I'm asking this question legitimately. Is that report from Mark Conkle, which was like four sentences long.
Right.
And then he went on both radio stations in town today and said, I'm pretty sure that Thursday is his last game. Is that a strong enough report to change your schedule when you're an NFL team?
I would say no. I would say no.
If it's just moving Tabor, though, like, I see what you're saying, Danny, but
I just don't. I don't think it's valid.
It's an inconvenience of a few minutes when we're talking about Chris Tabor and just turning, making his time Nagy's time.
No, see, here's the
thing.
That's
all you're doing.
You don't have to redo your time frame and reschedule, but you've got an hour and 45 minutes to talk to your people so they don't look like idiots out there, and they don't do that.
I didn't think they looked like idiots.
I think the fact that Tabor had to go out there and wear it is the kind of thing that a poorly run organization forces coaches to have to do.
I think they're a poorly run organization.
Remember when we left?
I didn't think Tabor looked like an idiot today.
Well, remember
I
when we left at David Culley, like poor David Culley being out there answering for the sins of the Texans and the idiocy of the Texans, and they're more sloppily run, and David Culley looked worse than these guys today. But you shouldn't put your coaches out there as human shields to wear your incompetence.
I think how they handled this to me suggests that the report is flatly not true. Because if it is true, either that they told Nagy or that they had made a decision and that he is fired Thursday night or Friday, then it's one of the worst PR blunders that I've ever seen. Because, okay, fine, decide to fire the guy. Fine. I think he's done anyway. We all think he's done anyway. It's a matter of when, not if. But to make him stand up there and lie and eat it and have that public shaming and stoning, like to like shield your organization from it, man, own your decision. You got scooped. You know, if it's true. But I don't think that's what this is. I think that someone said something to Conkle.
And he got it wrong.
And he got it wrong.
He took the word of somebody and got it wrong.
Yeah, I think he got it wrong.
You are assuming a baseline level of competence among the Bears that I don't assume.
This is just to be clear, this is a very low bar that I'm setting it at. Like, this is not praise, okay?
I know.
Do you know how stupid you'd have to be to fire your coach, ask him to coach a game on Thanksgiving, knowing that he's been fired, have the report come out that he's been fired, he's got a media responsibility today? Does he speak tomorrow? I'm not sure. But then he's got to speak. So he doesn't speak tomorrow, but then he speaks again Thursday, and then assume that it's not going to leak between now and... Come on. They might be bad. They're not that bad.
But isn't this bad just how they handled this today? I'm sorry, man, but you know, you can dismiss the report if you want, but Mark Conkle... Yes, he has a Pulitzer Prize, as we know. Remember he broke the Jackie Robinson West stuff in 2015, Lawrence? I remembered he had a sports scoop. He's the one who talked to the Evergreen Park coach and then chased down that whole story, and they wouldn't even let him go to one of the celebration rallies for Jackie Robinson West because he had been the guy who broke the story.
I wonder if this is Brad Biggs who breaks the story. Is there a refutation by the Bears?
I think to not make a refutation is crazy to me. In this landscape...
Should they have had a refutation on Jordan Schultz?
No, it's not if...
And this is where Danny and I think we kind of align on this. If they think that the report is so out of whack that it doesn't deserve... It doesn't rise to the level of a refutation. And I was just talking with someone who does PR for another team who said we wouldn't speak on this either.
Exactly.
Like we wouldn't speak on this. We wouldn't give it oxygen. Now, that doesn't mean that the report's not true.
Correct.
But I do wonder, like, it's a bigger issue for me. Like, was this a one-source report?
Yes.
Because that's what it feels like.
Yeah, no, and he clearly said it was.
Yeah, he said it was. He said a high-level source.
It fell into my
Correct.
Lap. He said it fell into his lap.
But usually when you do that, usually if you have that, you have to then go corroborate that with another source.
And it doesn't seem like he did that, and he might not have the sources to do that.
He definitely didn't do that. Like, he definitely didn't do that. And because, Lawrence, what that PR person that you talked to said is exactly how I feel about it. Because, man, you and I and Speaks, we are on Twitter all day, every day. If every organization responded to everything said by every person with a decent amount of integrity, but not, integrity is not the right word.
I had credibility.
Credibility.
I understand.
Expertise on the
cachet.
Beat. Cachet. Whatever it is. You know what I'm saying.
Does this report rise to a credibility that deserves a refutation?
The tail would be wagging its dog, though.
Okay, but
all day, every day, if every organization responded to everything that someone of some level of reputation said about their team, it would be ridiculous.
What about the fact that both radio stations put them on and ran with it, and now it has oxygen beyond just that one person? It has a tremendous amount of oxygen. To ignore the fact that it's going to come up first to every guy who goes up there on the podium.
But see, I feel like to me that's part of Matt Nagy's job. Like, he answered for it. It was a report about him. Now, if the report would have said,
all the assistant coaches are fired too.
Or Ted Phillips told me. You know what I mean? If it wasn't an anonymous source. Well, then, yeah, of course.
I think it is thoroughly in play that they've decided to fire him, and this came out, and they botched it because they told somebody. And Conkle, who talks to some source for City News related to the Bears, said, What did you say you heard in the hallways? Okay. And he ran with it, and maybe he shouldn't have run with it because he didn't corroborate it, but it's totally true, and Matt Nagy doesn't even know it yet. I think that's entirely in play based on the fact that there have been decades and decades of dysfunction that is still in place. It's not like they've reached some new level of competence or functionality. They are still the Bears, and they still have this messed up power structure that allows for miscommunication and mismanagement like this.
Here's what I would say. That if the Bears, I'm not sure that they necessarily needed to put out a statement, but it would have been the easiest way to avoid significant talk and maybe even your coach being hammered in a press conference on the subject.
How about just
and
call the coach, Lawrence? I mean, yes, a statement is one thing, but call the coach. Neither.
No, but I'm saying, like, all the calling of the coach would be in part of you putting together the statement,
uh-huh.
And it would just simply be, we saw the report that was put out by Patch.com. We have not made any decision about our head coach's future, period. And that's it. But instead, you know, I'm stuck on a lot of different levels on this because I think that there are some journalistic questions that we owe it to ourselves to ask of ourselves of when is it appropriate for us to go with a story? And when it comes to discovering, like, sports overall, one of the biggest problems that every entity, whether it's the Score or 1000 or NBC Sports Chicago, is that we don't really have news departments anymore. And so what it used to be was, if a story like this couldn't be confirmed by us independently, then it would be rare that we would go with it. But now we live in a space where this is what's being talked about by our audience.
Amen.
Therefore, are we doing the right thing by ignoring it until we can confirm it? Or should we be talking about it even though we haven't independently confirmed it?
I totally understand that, and I understand both of your frustration. And Danny, having worked with you as much as I have, I understand your love and respect for the journalism part of it. And we have devolved as a society journalistically to where certain things become acceptable. And that is definitely a component of what's going on here, whether it is worthy of a refutation. I trust the Bears so little that I tend to believe a single source journalistic report from a borderline credible sports source.
And Lawrence, like, you know, and I don't know how you would come out on this, but I assume you would agree. There are, in my opinion, there are some stories that single source reporting is fine. For example, if Adam Schefter gets texted by an agent, my client has agreed to a 5-year, $55 million contract extension, I do not believe that Adam Schefter, it's incumbent upon him to then go to the GM of that team and confirm it. Would you agree with that?
I would say that you should probably still do that, and I imagine that he does, but...
I don't think that they do, because we see it all the time, well,
clearly,
right?
Like, he didn't the other day.
And he didn't the other day where he got in trouble with the Dalvin Cook story.
Did that agent's bidding just flat out?
I think that's a little bit different, though. I think that that's reporting that Schefter doesn't do. The transactional reporting, which is what's made him famous... I do think that there's more, he's more buttoned up and connected. And that's a text message. Hey, I got this. Can I go with this? Boom. Yeah, and now I've got two confirmations. When it comes to the other stuff, he's way out in front of his skis on some of the reporting.
Right. He messed up the Dalvin Cook thing because on something that is that serious, obviously,
you don't just do the simple transactional end
and just take someone who clearly has something to benefit,
yeah,
right, by a narrative being out there. That was sloppy, and the apology I thought was warranted. But we see this all the time, that Shams and Woj tweet the story within seconds of each other,
uh-huh,
or that Schefter
it's coming
Rappaport,
from the place.
It's coming from one source.
Okay,
it's coming from a mass text from an agent to these reporters, and they run with it because they don't then all immediately text the GM and then immediately get the response. It's a race to get on Twitter.
This is fascinating stuff to us, and I wonder how interesting it is to some of the listeners, but I think that they understand the context matters, and we see it during baseball's labor fight when, like, the obvious leak receptacles are sharing their stuff, and we all know where it's coming from, or the Nightingale White Sox connect. What is there with Mark Conkle? What is the vested interest or anything like that? There's nothing. You know what his interest level is? He's a Bears fan who hates what they are. If you actually look at his feed and read some of his stuff, he's as disgusted as anybody by what Matt Nagy has done. So is that causing him to put his head out a little bit over his journalistic skis because he wants this to be true and or knows this to be true and isn't bothering to vet it? Like that,
I think that is a legitimate question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's the point of view that you're coming from and why the need to report it?
Sure, but here's the thing, Lawrence. Remember that when Trestman got fired, along with Phil Emery, they had never fired a coach that fast, and they had never fired a GM that fast. And that was news that they had progressed as an organization, they had listened enough to the public pressure or felt it enough that they got rid of Trestman after 2 years and didn't even let Emery pick a second coach. That was something they had never done. Then they hired John Fox, which is something they had never done. Firing a coach midseason? Absolutely in play that they would now do this, even though it's something they've never done, because that was so freaking ugly on Sunday, and the rules really make it look like if you want to get a jump on interviewing the Eric Bieniemies and Byron Leftwiches of the world, then do it, because the Giants are going to interview those guys in the final couple weeks of the years.
Well, I mean, the Giants fired
Garrett.
Jason Garrett.
And they'll talk to Leftwich. They'll talk to whoever they want to talk to in week 16 and 17. And the Bears now could as well if they were to actually do this the right way.
But Jason Garrett's the offensive coordinator. He's not the head coach. So firing a head coach this early in the season is still a rarity in the NFL. So you're right. It is in play. I will be floored if they fire Matt Nagy on Friday. I will be floored by it. Now, that is not to say that I'll be
By the way, that would be the move. That not Monday, Friday.
Friday.
Of course.
Absolutely.
That was another thing I was like, yeah, that's interesting that they would let it linger over the weekend.
Oh, this is your last chance to do something with more than just a 1 week placeholder between games.
Right. It's their last chance. I will personally be very surprised by it. But what I do think is likely here is that Matt Nagy is done. Right? Like we all agree with that. I think that Matt Nagy knows that. I think he's playing out the string.
Uh-huh.
It's a matter of weeks, not days, though. And
exactly.
That's important.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's important.
But
like,
why
and it's
not,
important to get it right.
Why not do it now? See, I think there's wisdom.
Agree.
There's wisdom in doing it now. You've already shown you can get through a week with Chris Tabor. You've already shown that Bill Lazor is actually calling the plays. It's obvious to everyone, including the players involved. Listen to Jalen Johnson, man, the dudes that matter. It's obvious that this is going to happen and needs to happen. I personally think Ryan Pace is going to survive and get to choose another head coach, but we'll see what happens there. I mean, so go ahead and do it now, lame duck for the next 6-7 games, doesn't make a damn lick of sense to me. It really doesn't.
I think that the advantage of doing it now is what, though?
Interviewing whoever you want in week 16 and 17 based on the new rules that came out.
But that they can do that anyway. There's nothing that says you have to have a head coaching vacancy to talk to somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
They're allowed to talk to Byron Leftwich. Byron Leftwich will be granted an interview to talk to them about what?
I mean, you can talk, but I mean, but we,
no,
week,
no, like,
week 16.
I think it would be unlikely that candidates would talk to.
Right, but I'm saying no
to the Bears while there was a sitting head coach.
No, that sure. I'm saying that you can do that by week 16. Now is week 11, right? Or week 12. There is still a month before that.
Yeah, well,
at its absolute earliest,
sure.
where you'd get any sort of benefit by doing it. And
but we just said you have 10 days after this game, or 9 days after this game. It's your last chance of more than 7 days.
But I thought that you were talking about for like some sort of benefit for Chris Tabor to have extra time.
Oh, no.
Because that was the idea.
Oh, no.
That was why it seems.
Chris Tabor just helps you survive.
Well, right, but it seemed to me like the reason why you wouldn't. If you were putting stock in the validity of the report. Of like, oh yeah, the Baltimore game did it in, but we don't want to fire a coach with only 72 hours until our next football game, so we'll do it after the next football game. That's what I thought we were talking about. Maybe they'll fire him after week 15 or week 16 to get that jump on it, but all of the coaching agents know. If we all know, and we think that Matt Nagy knows, like it's not going to be some sort of state secret that the Bears job's coming open. Everyone's going to, Leftwich is going to know, mm-hmm. Dable's going to know, Ryan Day is going to know,
right,
Lincoln Riley's going to know. They're all going
to
know.
But technically it is different this year that you are allowed to talk to these assistant coaches from teams who are dealing with meaningless games in week 16, 17, or 18. I think it's actually, 17 and 18? And or the bye week used to be that you had to wait until their team was eliminated from the playoffs. So this will enable some earlier interviews, and I suspect some earlier firings. We'll see.
And I suspect the Chicago leverage will be back in business because if and when Matt Nagy is fired, Ryan Day should go right to Ohio State and be like, hey, I heard about that deal that Mel Tucker was getting at Michigan yeah. State. The 10-year deal sure seems nice, and I'm still a young man.
Yeah.
So,
and the other thing is, like, I am more convinced than you, Danny, and maybe you, Lawrence, I don't know, that Matt Nagy is a negative right now to Justin Fields. I just feel like Matt Nagy is a broken, babbling mess of an offensive mind who is, in if anything, a detractor from the development of Justin Fields. So his removal, I think, could only be a good thing. Frankly,
I agree with you on that. I don't think there's anything that's left to see from Matt Nagy.
Correct.
I think that the path on what to do with him and his boss, quite honestly, is clear to me. It is still a question of we shouldn't talk about this as if we know it to be true if we don't. And I do think that that is unfair from a human being perspective. And I know that people are mad at Matt Nagy because he's bad at being head coach. But I do think that if it were any of us, we would not want to be living in a space where, are we sure that this is what it is? And you end up in the place where his son is being taunted by this at a game. I just think that we need to be very clear about what it is and what it isn't. And let people decide, because that's the space where we're at right now, unfortunately, is that since it's out there, we have to talk about it. But that doesn't mean we have to talk about it as if it is fact.
No, in fact, I will go the other way. I will talk about it as if it is not fact, because it isn't yet, right? Like, until it is, then it isn't. It's actually a binary thing. Matt Nagy will be coaching the Detroit Lions. He has denied that that conversation took place. The report was that the conversation took place. I will be operating under the assumption that it is, that the report is wrong. Right? Don't you have to? Like, yeah, I think you have to operate as if the status quo is going to continue until it doesn't. I don't know if you hold 1,000 Bears fans, how many people think that this report is accurate and that Matt Nagy, that the Lions game is his last game? I don't know where the fans come out on it, but I will be very surprised if the Lions, if the Detroit is his last game as head coach of the Bears. Very surprised.
Yeah, I don't know. I think certainly all of us are trying to dig around to talk to anybody we can talk to and try to figure out anything we can. I don't know, 40%, 45%, Matt Nagy will have his last game be the Lions game. It's not a zero for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's zero. I don't think it's zero. And he better win.
I mean, if you lose,
it makes it even easier.
It gets a little bit more uncomfortable if he loses. We have some White Sox news. Kendall Graveman,
yes.
3 years, $24 million, woo, relief pitcher with good stuff.
Kendall Graveman was a post-hype failed starter who had gone through an injury or two and then reinvented himself as a short reliever and was brilliant this year in Seattle, like dominant whip numbers and swing and miss numbers as a short reliever in Seattle, got traded from Seattle to Houston and was really good for them. And that is Craig Kimbrell insurance. That is your eighth inning guy. That is a guy will have no problem being your eighth inning guy after Craig Kimbrell is traded.
Well,
in my
we
opinion.
Talked about it, right? If you lose Kimbrell and Kopech, you can't turn a strength into a weakness. And this guy is plus in the bullpen.
That it's not.
What a fantastic turn of events. If you love the Chicago White Sox.
It's not a long resume of excellence, but it is a recent resume of excellence with a big-time arm and a dude who could have massive swing and miss, excellent stuff in the seventh or eighth inning from a right-handed perspective. And even if you don't trade Kimbrel, then he's just another because, you know, without Evan Marshall, without Kopech, without, you know, as you say, you need a guy like this. That's a good signing. 3 years, 24 mil. I like it.
So, Lawrence, we're obviously going to react to all of the Bears nonsense and craziness over the course of the day. Got a texter right here. The report is accurate. Parkins, you can't be this lost on the Bears at this stage of your life and career.
There's a difference here.
Yeah.
I think what
I'm really frustrated. Like, it's frustrating to me because what we think, what we want to happen, what we know is going to happen is a very different thing than reporting it.
Right.
And right. And so I applaud you for being careful about this. And I wish that people would understand that we're in a different space than if you and I are talking in a bar. It's different than us talking on the airwaves, and there's a responsibility that needs to take place where we should be discerning and critical of this report, and we should take all of the available information and then use our own sources to try and confirm or deny the report. Danny saying that he doesn't believe the reporting is not him saying that Matt Nagy should stay the Bears head coach.
Correct.
He's been very clear about that. And I just hope that people understand that while we do want folks to feel like they're sitting on the couch with us, that there is an added level of responsibility that we have to use to protect ourselves and our radio station.
Yeah, but you
so that we can't just go with stuff.
I hear you.
Because it's out there. We have to be more diligent than that.
Yeah, we have a unique role in the journalistic and entertainment landscape where it crosses over.
It's a tap dance
into many different realms, and so it's one of the reasons, frankly, that I miss sports updates because that's where clearly the journalistic ethics were.
You're like, sitting next to the guy who killed him, speaks.
That's not true.
Came in here from Kansas City. He said, nope. Get out of here, Chris.
If this
Fonte,
deal's going to get done,
you, Mike
Esposito, all of them out of here.
Scoreboard
update. Not what happened.
I miss
not
it.
What happened.
Seriously, but that's where you knew the ethics lived. That's a little 3 minute spot.
But I also think there's plenty of room for play and entertainment in here. And we'll talk about the chanting, right? Like, fire Nagy at the Bears game is to me sports fandom. Fire Nagy at the Bulls game is sports fandom and funny. Fire Nagy at a high school event where he is present and his kid is playing in the game is classless, but it's a dumb thing that dumb high school kids did. Like, I'm not going to be up in arms over it, but classless. Like, we should all be able to parse these things and live in the world of gray and contain multitudes and a little bit of nuance and be rational actors about this stuff.
I think one thing you said to me in the pre-show meeting is so perfect. You said, I don't know why Dave McGinnis is relevant to this conversation.
I don't think it is.
Oh, but I do think it is.
Okay. I don't. But I understand why, and we will we'll talk it out over the course of the day. But Mark Potash in an hour, Hub Arkish at 4. No big deal. Sebastian Maniscalco, 5 o'clock. Just a top 5 name in comedy today. And Mark Grody before we're out of here. And it's our last show, barring a firing, until after Thanksgiving. So we're going to hang out today, Lawrence.
All right, boys. You do that. Enjoy yourselves. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.